It is a pleasure to be here this morning outside of your normal seat. Did anybody bring their actual chair from the church auditorium? No? That's good. That's good. We all sat in new chairs this morning, new environment, new spaces. If you could all give the people who spend hours in preparation for making this happen, gentlemen who came early this morning, were here on the weekend to take apart what was on our stage and bring it here. If you could all give them a round of applause for all their work for making this happen today. We wanted to be able to do something a little bit special in a celebration and something a little bit different this morning. And so that's why we're here. My name's Tim. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at Niagara Worship Center. Not here at Queenston Heights, but for this morning, we are here. And we are just thrilled about the things that God is doing in our lives. So I just want to share for a few minutes from my heart to you, and then we're going to spend some time this afternoon in fellowship. We're going to spend some time eating together and just having a good time. And so you're welcome to stay for as long as you're here this morning. You know, there are significant moments throughout our life where we celebrate things, where we take time away from our regular daily activities to celebrate. They could be birthday parties, they could be a wedding or an anniversary, it could be Mother's Day, any sort of a one-time celebration throughout the year where we take a step away from the ordinary and we celebrate something extraordinary. And today is a reflection of that in my heart, where this is a morning where we're enacting that. But you know, as the church, as a people who believe in God, we believe in celebrating all the time. And so this morning I want to talk to you about celebrating constantly. We don't just celebrate from time to time. We don't celebrate every once in a while. But we're a people who are celebrating constantly. And so I would challenge you. Anybody in here ever had a mother? A couple of you. Okay. Wonderful. All of us have had mothers. And all of us have probably experienced something called Mother's Day, where it's a day that comes around. Now, for you children who have ever had mothers, and you adults who have ever had mothers, which is all of you, is that the only day of the year that you love your mother? Is that the only day of the year that you celebrate your mother? Oh, okay. I was getting concerned there. Okay, so it's a highlight in the year where you get to focus the fact that you love and want to celebrate your mother on that day. Husbands, on your anniversary, is that the only day of the year that you show your wife that you love her? That would not be a good idea. Do not wait until your anniversary to celebrate your marriage. And so it's the same with our faith. We don't get together just on Sundays because that's the day of the week where we want to celebrate our God. We get together on Sundays as a bit of a reflection, a mirror, where we want to celebrate the things that have gone before us, the things that God has done that we want to thank Him for. And it's also a catalyst. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate God for the things that He hasn't even done yet, and to thank Him for the things that He's going to do in days to come. And so our hearts as a church, we are a people who believe in celebrating. And we are a people who believe in celebrating God, not just when things are going great, but all the time. All the time. Whether we are out at Queenston Heights and the sun isn't shining too brightly, or it's a little bit cloudy, we believe in celebrating constantly. And so, is anybody in the crowd was actually bold enough to actually bring their Bibles here this morning? And I see Bibles. If you got your Bible, raise it in the air. This is fantastic. This is just great. Look at all these Bibles. Wow, iPhones. I love it. This is great. Okay, if you brought your, that's way more than I expected this morning. I thought people would think, certainly we wouldn't need a Bible on a church service like this. If you brought your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke, chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter 19. And we're going to be taking a look at a passage that, if you've got a Bible like mine or an app like mine, there's a little bit of a subtitle in the top where it's called The Triumphal Entry. Right on top of verse 28, it's called The Triumphal Entry. And we want to read this story and just spend a few minutes talking about why we are a church who believes in celebrating. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along or you can just listen. And when he, who is Jesus, who had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering it you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. Okay, so Jesus tells two of his disciples to go into town. And he tells them, Jesus knows, when you get into this town, you're going to find a little donkey, a colt. And you're going to find this colt, and you're going to untie the colt, and you're going to bring it to me. Okay? Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go and steal a colt. And so he says, now if somebody asks you what you're doing with the colt, just say the Lord has need of it. Just tell them that the Lord has need of it. Verse 32, so those who were sent away went and found it just as he has told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said, why are you untying the colt? Can anyone relate to the colt owner? Why are you taking my animal? Right? It's a fair question. And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of the mighty works that they had seen. And this is what they said, verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. So Jesus has this donkey that's never been rode. And this is the thing by which Jesus makes his triumphal entry. This is the very vehicle, the very means of transportation upon which Jesus enters triumphantly into this scene in this story. And I love what he told his disciples. If anybody asks you why you're doing this, just tell them, the Lord has need of it. And as I was spending time in this passage this week, I felt that that's a word for many of you this morning. That maybe there's something that you feel led of the Lord to do. Maybe there's a new business venture or a new avenue that God's taking you in your family life, a new opportunity, and you're considering, you're moving towards a certain direction. And somebody's like, why are you doing that? Maybe like the owner of the cult, they're going, hey, what makes you think you can do that? Who do you think that you are? And if God is leading you to do something, my encouragement to you this morning is, this is your response. The Lord has need of it. You know, God can call us to do some strange things, and we need to be willing to just say, the Lord has need of it. If God's calling me to do something that sounds a little bit strange, I need to believe that if the Lord has need of it, then that's okay. I can be obedient to that. My wife, Christine, and I, when we bought a house just over a year ago, we just had this real confidence in us that this house wasn't just a house for us, that the Lord had need of it, that it was going to be a house that was used for the Lord. And so I believe that that could be an encouragement to some of you here this morning. But to get back into the story, listen to how the disciples responded. Jesus is walking in, riding in on this colt, and they are shouting rejoices at the top of their lungs. There is such a multitude of people praising God, and they're praising him in such a way that it is offending the other Pharisees, the religious leaders. They are so bold in their declaration of their faith in God that it's making some people frustrated and upset. And Jesus' response is, if they didn't praise me, the very stones would cry out. The very rocks would cry out. You know, we have a calling as a church to praise our God. And we are called to be a people who celebrate in good times and in bad. And not that we celebrate our bad times, but we celebrate God in the midst of our bad times. We don't thank God for the bad circumstances. We thank our God in spite of our circumstances. Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he didn't stop there. He repeated himself. He says, wait, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. It's not bent on your circumstance. It's not a part of what you're going through in your life. Paul says, you've just got to rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. We want to be a people, as a church, as a family, who just worship God constantly. It's a part of who we are. And so Jesus here, in this story, he made a triumphal entry. That's what the editors of the Bible put in as a little subtitle, the triumphal entry. You know, how many in here could maybe use a little bit of a triumphant entry into your life right now in the midst of your circumstance? Well, you know what? Don't wait for Jesus to come back down from heaven, saddle up on a donkey that's never been ridden, and come visit your house. Jesus already did it. The triumphal entry already happened. And so in the midst of whatever it is where you think, man, I could use a victory. I could use Jesus coming into my family situation right now, my financial situation right now. Man, Jesus, why couldn't you just make a triumphal entry for me right now? Well, he did. He made the triumphal entry. He claimed victory over death. And that's why the book of Colossians said that Jesus, he triumphed over the principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly. He absolutely defeated the enemy. And so we have this triumphal entry. When you feel like you're waiting for Jesus to give you a breakthrough, open up to Luke chapter 19 and remind yourself that he already did. He already entered. He already did provide the breakthrough. And we need to have the response of these disciples who just declare God for the things that he's done. And that's what it says. It says that they declared, they rejoiced in the Lord, in him, because of the things that they had seen him do. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the things that God's done in our life. We can tend to forget the blessings that we've had. Remind yourself, sit down, and think about all the things that God has done for you. Praise him for all the things that he has done for you. Rejoice in who God is, because he's made a triumphal entry. He's already brought the change that's needed in your life. And if you feel like you're waiting on Jesus, you're waiting on the wrong person. Just get up and praise him. He's already provided. Just get up and praise him. He's already made the triumphal entry. And this is who we are as a church. This is our week 9 of our 10-week series. For those of you who have been with us at Niagara Worship Center, studying along with us, we've been talking about what we believe. We believe in celebrating. We believe in celebrating families. We believe in celebrating, you know, new life that's brought into the world. We believe in celebrating people who commit to each other in marriage and give vows. We believe in celebrating mothers and fathers and singles and widows. We believe in celebrating the family of God. And we do that best when we as a family, we celebrate our God. Where we can take our eyes off ourselves and we can say, God, you're good. And I'm just going to worship you. A prayer that's on my heart that I've spoken probably every day since I first started praying it, maybe about 7-8 years ago. And you've maybe noticed it when you hear me pray up here from the stage, where I thank God for who he is and for who he's made me to be. Because God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy to be celebrated in and of himself. And if you just need one reason extra to celebrate him, you're breathing. You're alive. Look at the life that he's given you. You can just say, God, I thank you for who you are and for who you've made me to be. If you can't remember and look back and look at a single thing that he's actually done for you, and you can't look back and see maybe a miracle story or an encouraging thing that he's done for you, just thank him for the life that he's given you. And let's not give a reason this morning for the trees to have to cry out. Because Jesus says, if my people don't, then the earth is going to cry out. Let's not give them an excuse. Let's be the ones in Queenston Heights who are rejoicing in our God this morning. Let's be the ones who carry it out into all of our everyday life, where we're the people who worship and celebrate our God. Let me pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and for the very life that you've given us. And God, if you didn't do anything else, you're still worthy. You're still worthy to be celebrated. Not just Sunday mornings, not just here at special occasions, God, but you're worthy to be celebrated constantly. And so we worship you, God. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, for how you've provided. And we ask you to continue to encourage us to see ways that we can rejoice and celebrate the goodness of you, our God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.